Welcome to Go Home Heat, a wrestling podcast. This will be an NXT Sports Entertainment Wrestling Podcast, NXT version, Super Tuesday.
Woo!
This is actually in memory of Bullet Bob Armstrong, which I've said on the show many times, is the guy that got me into pro wrestling, being from the Pensacola area.
I would say we probably saw one of his last matches, too.
Yes. Like, not that long ago, he wrestled at the fairgrounds down here at an indie show. That was...
Yeah.
It was really cool.
Because he was 80.
Yes.
He got out there doing the legs, doing the...
Did the dance.
Yeah.
But the guy he wrestled did a really good job of taking care of him, too.
Yeah.
And managed to lose to him.
Yes.
And still took care of him to do it. Well done.
Yeah.
First of all, thank you for that. And thank you, Bob, for all the memories and the sons and...
All the Armstrongs, man. Road Dogg. Come on.
Just a history. Like, I thought about all the great moments Road Dogg's been involved in or helped write or whatever, but then when you think of Scott and how many big matches he was in the middle of over the years, because he kind of was head referee post... What's the name of Quick Count guy?
Earl Hebner.
Earl Hebner. Scott kind of took over for him.
Yeah.
And now Scott was a good wrestler, too.
Yeah, he was.
None of them were as good as Brad.
No.
Brad was better... Bell to bell.
Yes.
Brad was better than Bob.
Mm-hmm.
Bob was the storyteller. Bob was the physical presence. Bob was one of the great promos of all time.
Yes.
You can go back on YouTube and find his old promos, and he just...
Slaughters,
right. Yeah. Jericho tells a story in one of his books about, I think, Smoky Mountain Wrestling.
Yeah.
Promo day, and he said, I would just sit there and listen to different guys come in and out all day, studying them. And he said, you know, Bob pulls in, walks in, it's the exact time he's supposed to be doing a promo. He walks in, he does his promo, it's 8-10 minutes. He walks out. He doesn't even really wait for them to tell him he's done.
He knows.
He looks at whoever and says, one take guy, that's how it's done. Boom. Walks out. You know what I mean?
But
and it was perfect. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's who he was. And Brad was a good promo, but not that level good. But Brad was in a time where what he was fantastic. If Brad Armstrong wrestled today, he's exactly what pro wrestling is today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, he was Brian Pillman before Pillman got hurt.
Yeah.
Brad, I'm trying to think of other guys. They were right before Eddie.
I was about to say Eddie Guerrero.
Almost like they were the toe in the water to let a Bischoff and guys like that know, hey, this can
get over.
But it can get over in a big way.
Yes.
You don't have to just use it in tag wrestling. You know what I mean?
Yeah, gimmick spots and stuff.
Right. You can go top rope guys all the time, and it can work. And then Bischoff puts, you know, the foot in the water with the cruiserweights, and then eventually Guerrero breaks that all through. Okay, Legado del Fantasma versus Breezango and Swerve Scott. It's all of them against all of them. We had the Ding Dong Slingshot spot in that match, which I had never seen.
No, that was a new one on me. I've never seen that before. It was hilarious.
Yeah, Tyler Breeze tries to do the sunset flip style thing, and once he's laying there on the ground, when it doesn't work, and his head and shoulders are between the legs of the guy who's trying to sunset flip, Breezango does the slingshot on his feet, and his head rams into the guy's.
Yes.
Perfectly done.
Perfectly done.
I thought this was great.
This was a great match.
Mm-hmm.
There was crazy spots in it. The Imperium came out and attacked the new champs halfway through, and Swerve Scott, and all, you know, Prince Pretty's in the ring. I think it was Prince Pretty's in the ring, and Fandango and Swerve
are on a
forklift
spots are always good in pro wrestling.
Yes,
matches.
They've always been good to me.
Yes, and they have a forklift extended above the ring, so they're jumping from, you know, 12 feet or whatever instead of the regular 5 feet. I think is where a top turnbuckle is.
Yeah,
so that they land on top of the competitors. Swerve winds up getting his finisher on
Santos Escobar,
who is your champion. So now we have solidified that this is our real feud here, and that they will probably have another battle over that cruiserweight championship, which I love it. I love this matchup. I love Breezango. I love Swerve Scott.
Mm-hmm.
I see Swerve Scott as a star.
I do too.
I see this faction. I see the Undisputed Era as we can go from show to show to show. We never have to break this faction up.
Mm-hmm.
And I see this faction the same way.
Yes.
But Undisputed Era's best years may not be behind them, but they're limited.
Yeah.
These are kids. You know what I mean? And there's no limit to what Escobar can do.
No.
And those other two kids are great, too.
Uh-huh.
So
he can pull them along.
Yeah. As long as you ring the bell,
yeah,
those other guys are really good. So I can't wait. I love this match. Now, of course, like we said, Swerve wins. So we're moving on from that. Tegan Knox versus Candice LeRae in a video. We're just telling the story here. They're not really going to fight on this show. But that's where we're going. And they're pretty good at these backstage vignettes and all that.
Well, so Tegan Knox goes through this whole, I don't want to live in a world where I'm not friends with Candice LeRae because we're best buddies, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, that ship sailed.
Yeah.
Candice will help her figure that out, though, pretty soon.
Pretty soon.
Because I think, so Candice and versus Kat, how do you say that?
Kat and Zero.
And this was really good.
Candice, Kat and Zero, yeah.
She's
tiny, but she's got so athletic. She can make a lot of stuff work.
Well, and two, she's not wrestling Rhea Ripley.
Mm-mm.
So it can work a little bit better with Candice LeRae than something like that. But she can go. And so they get a good little match out of here, but Candice winds up smoking her on the finish. And
Candice discovers the power of friendship.
Yes. Yes, by watching the way the other two cared about each other.
Mm-hmm.
As she watched her friend get bludgeoned.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's willing to have dinner with her friend.
Yeah, at her house.
Right.
That's going to go creepy.
Yeah, I can see Johnny, like, helping her beat up the girl.
Yeah.
Or if nothing else, like, cheering.
Yeah, or sitting there eating while it's happening.
Yay! Yeah. I love you so much that she's got her in, like, a submission hold in the living room floor. Okay. So then we move on to Rhea Ripley and her little promo. And she's tired of the Robert Stone brand and wants a steel cage match with Mercedes Martinez. And I'm fired up.
Yes.
Yes, let's do it. Moving on to Bronson Reed versus Timothy Thatcher. Now, that'll probably be next week, I think, the steel cage match.
Yeah. Okay.
Bronson Reed versus Timothy Thatcher. And this is really good.
Mm-hmm.
Bronson has a new entrance where he is Kong,
mm-hmm.
which fits him
yeah, it does.
Extremely well. Thatcher doesn't even need an entrance because he's not like that.
I'm here to do business.
Mm-hmm. Now, Bronson looks great. He overwhelms Thatcher early until Austin Theory, who had interaction with Bronson backstage last week, comes out, plants Bronson's head in the ground, rolls him into the ring for Thatcher, who gets him in the armbar, and we get the tap.
Yeah.
And I love this.
I loved it. Yeah, you get Thatcher's going to be the first challenger for old Punishment Martin. Damian Priest.
Correct.
Yeah. And this is how you get him there. You don't make Bronson look bad. Bronson goes into a program with Austin Theory, who's a great wrestler. Do we ever find out what he got low-key suspended for, whatever happened?
No. No, I don't know for sure what it was, and I was a little surprised that he didn't stay with
That was weird, and they just disappeared him.
Well, you know, they let AOP go too.
Are they gone? Are they?
They gave them their. They came to a contractual agreement with them to leave the company yesterday.
Oh no!
Because
now I might get to see AOP wrestle.
Yeah. Well, the problem is though, every time they wrestle, they get hurt.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they went without wrestling with Seth for so long. Three matches in.
Yeah, they get hurt.
One of them's hurt. You know,
they had bad hurt.
They had a push before. One of them gets hurt. Then, it stinks.
It stinks.
Because they're really good.
Where do you think they'll show up?
I think New Japan.
Oh, man, that would be great. They're perfect for New Japan.
I do. I feel like at some point, if you're AEW, you got to quit signing people.
Mm-hmm. Well, you've got too many tag teams over there as it is.
Right, and if you go to Impact, again, how much money does Impact really have?
Yeah, and it's a dog and, I'm not being rude, it's a dog and pony show over there and a lot of the stuff that goes on. AOP, I like their characters better in New Japan. I think you can really have those two dudes be a force. Hell, they could be Bullet Club.
They'll, if they walk into New Japan, they immediately get, the crowd will eat them up.
Oh, God, yes.
The big monster. Whereas if they go to, you know, one way that, like, the Good Brothers make a ton of money right now.
Mm-hmm.
They even said online the other day when this thing went down with AJ. Well, when, I don't know if you know this. This is not pro wrestling, but why not? Vince told them Thursday that he owns their likeness. He owns their real names, as well as their other names, and that they will not be doing Twitches, TikToks anymore.
Wow.
And, you know, one of the Good Brothers put out there, hey, Alan, look, there's plenty of money out here. You ain't got to be there. The reason why there's plenty of money out there for the Good Brothers is because they can do these other things other mm-hmm. than wrestling. And like, they were able to do their own little pay-per-view thing, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. AOP don't do that. AOP's not going to be on Twitch telling jokes while they're playing video games.
No.
So go to New Japan.
Yeah.
And
be a force.
Pummel people.
Vince McMahon, that's so petty, dude. How do you make yourself look?
Dude, it really looks bad. Now, obviously, many, many big companies have people sign contracts that say, your likeness is a reflection on my brand.
Mm-hmm.
And I can control that to some degree.
Yeah.
So the fact that legally, I saw a copy of Stephanie McMahon's contract today,
mm-hmm.
This morning. And you can see in it, they highlighted it where it said, you know, names I give you, real names.
Mm-hmm.
They highlighted that in the contract, real name. So you do, when you sign a contract with him, you sign your name over to Vince for the life of that contract.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what happened was AJ and a couple other guys on there, but mainly AJ on, this is the timeline. Wednesday, AJ says, I had COVID
mm-hmm.
while at the beginning of all this, while at SmackDown.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think he said he worked with it, but the implication
mm-hmm.
is that he found out he had COVID. While he was, remember,
yes.
they had a little COVID outbreak
mm-hmm.
there and everybody flipped out. And I guess they had three shows in the can and they sent everybody home. They tested everybody, sent mm-hmm. everybody home. They said, come back in 14 days, test mm-hmm. everybody again.
Mm-hmm.
And then they started testing people. That's when Mox's wife gets it. That's
yeah.
when, and so evidently AJ had it as well. The Miz may have had it, mm-hmm. but he would never say that out loud.
Yeah, yeah.
But I've heard rumors that that's why he missed time. Thursday, Vince says, no more. Now, here's my thing, and I hope nobody takes this the wrong way because I know how everybody loves Randy Orton right now. A couple of months ago, Randy Orton said a racial slur, and he didn't mean it like whatever, but I'm not really cool with saying that anyway, but it happened.
Yeah.
And he's since apologized, and he has since doubled down in many different ways
yeah.
of trying to...
And Woken Viper.
I don't think that he's lying.
No.
But on the heels of that, Vince did not say, no more Twitch.
Mm-hmm.
Yet here we are when a guy just tells you the truth about his health.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say that that was the same day that The Rock had come out. So it's entirely possible
mm-hmm.
that, you know, he's playing his game and somebody says, hey, The Rock just announced he had COVID, and he just said, yeah, I had it too.
Mm-hmm.
That's entirely possible. You know what I mean? And so the point of all that, I guess, is that Austin Theory is in NXT now and planted Bronson Reed's head in the ground and then rolls him into Thatcher, who gets the win with the bar and the tap. Now, we have moved on to, it seems like we have not had a lot to talk about because the main event is already here. Tommaso Ciampa, Finn Balor, Johnny Gargano, and Adam Cole.
60 minutes.
Bay. And the reason why the main event's here is because it's a 60-minute Iron Man match. 60-minute Iron man match.
And four dudes makes it easier than two dudes, though.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was amazing the way these guys told story after story and gave you callback after callback.
Yeah.
And didn't we have a Finn Balor, Adam Cole, Bullet Club moment?
You had that. Yeah, they did the two sweet, man.
Yeah, and then they won.
And then Finn dropped him.
Absolutely, which you should have.
Well, yeah. Because you got, I love that, dude. I was sitting there calling for it. I was like, man, give me the Bullet Club moment here. Acknowledge.
Absolutely.
That these two dudes were both in that, you know.
Yeah, and because they did it, it almost makes it feel a little bit rock and rollish.
Yes.
You know, a little punk rock. Uh-huh. We did it. You didn't tell us to do it, right?
Uh-huh.
And then we wind up having callbacks between the great
DIY.
Rivalries and tag team champions and all of that entails. I highly recommend going back and watching this, but with matches, there's a match and then there's a result.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't discussed this.
I don't. Do you not like it?
Let's tell them what happened, and then you tell them what you think, and I'll tell them what I think.
We end up going the route which I think was very predictable, which is all four dudes end up getting one
pin over the course of 58 minutes.
58 minutes. Then, Finn Balor hits the coup de grace on Ciampa. Am I right?
Right.
And gets the pin.
And there's somewhere around 5 seconds.
Yes, and I know where Adam Cole hits Finn with the last shot.
Last shot. Knee to the back of the head.
Knee to the back of the head. Flips him over at 2 seconds, but still gets a three count, I'm just saying.
Right.
And you end up with 2-2 tie.
Right.
And then next week we're going to have
Finn versus Cole for the championship, winner take all, one pin.
Yes.
First fall.
I liked it. I didn't mind because it was always going to be hard to get to.
Okay. If you liked it, it was going to be hard to get to. You could have almost predicted it was going to happen.
Yeah. Well, that's my point right there.
I'm asking you. I'm not telling you, by the way.
Yeah. No. I did not think that they were going to get, somebody was going to get three pins or something like that. I figured it'd be like one person would get two pins or something like that. But I kind of figured they were going to get two matches out of this.
Right.
And that you're going to kind of narrow it, you know, down.
Mm-hmm.
And of the two I'd like to see wrestle for it, I think that's the way to, you know, I think Finn's going to win. I don't think they put the belt back on Adam Cole.
It seems like they decided to go away from that.
Yeah. So, I kind of like it. I think that gives away Finn taking it off the guy who's kind of like the last... One of the last great champions.
Ciampa does not need to lose a championship match solo right now after after he's just come back and gone further into the heel bone.
Yeah.
Gargano probably doesn't need to lose a one-on-one match where he is right now.
No, he needs wins.
Badly, because he's had a couple losses.
Yeah.
Finn has done his job putting over talent by winning and losing to him.
Uh-huh.
It is time for Finn to be rewarded, which he never would have gotten rewarded if Cross doesn't get injured. He would have been probably a sacrificial lamb to Cross.
Yeah.
But things happen.
Hey.
Life's different than the plan.
If anybody deserves to take advantage of this moment, it's Finn Balor, who lost the Universal Championship in the same way, just about.
Right. When he really, really did what he did to Seth there.
Yeah. He made Seth look like a heel. Purposely injured himself to make Seth look like an evil jerk for buckle bombing him onto the outside, you know.
I still say he shouldn't have turned his hips like that.
Yeah, it's totally
his fault. Seth shouldn't have tried to projectile him from 10 yards away from it either, dude. But, you know, whatever. I honestly think, like, the first time I saw it, I thought, you know, Seth, when he threw him at the barricade, I'm like, Finn's been doing this long enough. He knows not to turn left to right when he's going to hit a barricade. He knows he's got to hit that thing flat. So when he turned and hit shoulder first, because he was flying.
Well,
think you were the one who pointed out he let him go from too far away.
Yeah.
So he expected to hit the wall and it wasn't there.
Uh-huh.
And so now things are weird, and that's when he turns to see, well, where is it?
Where is it? How
and
far
that's
off?
When he hits it.
Yeah. It's,
right?
Yeah, it's just an instinctive move you would make.
Right. But, okay, here's my problem with it. You sold the whole time that we were going to get a winner. That's what the whole point of this was. We were getting a champion tonight. Yet an hour. Four guys in the match, it could be very predictable that there would be a tie.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe you should have started it at our time, 7:58, 7:50.
Mm-hmm.
So that you could have gone extra if you needed it, right? But that's not what you wanted because you wanted two shows. So if you wanted two shows, you actually did everything perfectly, if you'll let me fantasy book real quickly. Everything was done perfectly, and you even pointed it out. There were 2 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
He counts it. 1, 2, 3. William Regal comes out and says, sure, the ref is allowed to count.
Mm-hmm.
But we all know that in less than 2 seconds, he counted 2, 3.
Mm-hmm.
Finn Balor is your champion. But Adam Cole, next week you get a rematch. You do the same exact thing, except William
you
Regal.
You give him a winner.
William Regal says, you know, or you could have him go 1, 2.
Ding, ding, ding. Right there.
Right. And then William comes out, hands it to him, and says, but. So then you get the elation of Finn winning.
Mm-hmm.
But then the, oh my God, Adam Cole is going to get the opportunity to win this back next week, and all of this is for nothing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I just would have gone that route.
Yes.
And that maybe the only reason why I go that route is because I hate non-finishes.
I got you.
And because I hate what the internet did as soon as that was over, because that turns into people who didn't even watch the match, or Twitter world, going, you guys really wasted an hour of your lives and didn't get a champ, which is silly. But why not give us that elation moment with Finn, and we could get two Finn elation moments in 2 weeks.
I do think they overuse that finish style of some sort of a tie, some sort of we got to go to a third, we got to go to a second.
Right.
I didn't mind it in this particular case if you separated it from all the other times they did it. But if you keep it in context of if I watched this 15 times 100%. This week.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
Because I loved it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I loved the match. It was just, I would have had him go 1, 2.
Yeah. Dun, ding, ding.
You know? And, you know, yes, you won, but Adam Cole deserves.
Yeah.
You know, he was a tenth of a second away. Mm-hmm. He deserves that fight. But hey, great episode.
Yes.
Fantastic match. You know what, too, dude? When they started this match, I thought this is a match of the year candidate. And I feel almost like if they do the finish like we said,
it would be. Yeah.
It is a match of the year candidate. Yeah. Whereas with the finish the way it is, it almost eliminates it from that kind of discussion.
Because it's a push off match.
It's a tie.
Yeah. It's push off to the next.
It's a setup for next week.
Yeah.
Which could be a match of your candidate.
Yes.
Absolutely. I mean, those guys.
Finn Balor, Adam Cole, Bullet Club versus Bullet Club. I mean, let's do it.
Yes.
The only AJ should come back down too, and then you'd have three guys who were leaders of Bullet Club.
Or just have AJ sit ringside for no reason. He's in town.
Yeah.
It would give it that moment feel.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm all with it. Okay, so great day.
I enjoyed it.
Great week of pro wrestling for the sports entertainment versions.
Yes.
If you listen to this one, because it's short, there's a longer version that includes Raw and SmackDown that we do also. And feel free to listen to that. I feel like we really dug into some cool stuff over there, too. For Justin, for me, KP, this is a Go Home Heat production. Copyright 2020. Go home.
Yes.